So, Andy, you'd be proud of me.
Okay.
You know, I jumped on the bandwagon, the Illinois Northwestern bandwagon, shattered last week when Northwestern ended.
Right.
And then I made the mistake of turning on the Illinois game last night.
Unbelievable.
And I thought, you know, really, there's enough violence and sadness in the world.
Yeah.
Can I watch this? It was, oh, man, it was painful.
That's unheard of. By, you know, a 30-0 run. I was working with Dave Ennett last night on the TV side, and I, you know, obviously he's called a lot of Northwestern games. And I said, what's the biggest run that you've ever called? And he recalled a 31-0 run that he called at one point.
Oh, man.
And I was thinking back to some of the games that I used to call earlier in my career with Loyola, and they went on a 24-0 run against Green Bay back in 2004. But those were regular season games. This was the right to go to the Final Four, and all of a sudden the wheels just fell off the bus. It was just instantaneous, and then they couldn't get a repair truck out there in time.
Right, right.
It was awful.
I mean, the Illinois did you know, until they reached the number one seed.
Yeah,
they were doing okay.
Yeah, you know, and they're not alone in UConn pummeling them, because UConn's been pummeling teams most of the last part of the year.
Right.
And
they're going to win, aren't they?
I would, you know, there's very, I don't see much weakness.
I'm looking for a new bandwagon to hop on right now.
Well, if you want to try to, you know, knock them off their cart there, you can get on the Alabama bandwagon. Now, that's who they play next.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that.
Yeah, so.
I think I want to stop. I think I'm going to be just a complete wishy-washy
fan. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Just, you know, a lot of times now with the teams out, you just root for good games or fun, exciting games, and you don't really care who wins.
It was painful to watch last night.
It was ugly.
God bless them. They did a fine job.
I agree.
Good season.
Yep.
But I was watching the game, and I thought, this is like if UConn were playing a team of, like, six guys like me. Old, fat guys that just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, kind of toying with you a little early, and they're like, okay, I've had enough of this.
So I did turn it off.
It was awful.
Schwani, what's your analysis in our little sports segment here?
Well, you know, I was sad to see that both Illinois and Northwestern were eliminated in the NCAA, but the fact that they
should were... Should I get the tap dance music out? Go ahead. Don't stop dancing on my account.
But the fact that they made the tournament you know, went on through, I think it's fine.
It's fine.
Yes. I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
That's the answer.
And I wish them well. As the Illinois coach said, he's probably the most blessed coach in basketball, college basketball today. I think it's fine.
And we're all blessed that he kept his shirt on.
Yeah, right.
Does he usually take his shirt off?
Well, you didn't see the squirt gun fight.
They had a little tradition.
Advanced.
Yeah, so after the games, they would super soaker each other there in the locker room.
See, that's, you can't do that.
And
you ever see Michael Jordan do that?
No. But just after their win to get into the Elite Eight, he took his shirt off because he didn't want to get the shirt wet because he still had to go out and meet with the media.
Right, 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 right.
And, of course, all the cameras were on it, and he was very, very funny when he said, you know, my poor daughters.
Yeah, right.
He was modeling the dad bod.
Let's do that today after the show today. Let's all take our shirts off.
Oh, sure.
I'll meet you there, okay?
Let's get some super soakers. Schwani, I'm coming after you today. I'm telling you right now. Happy Easter to all celebrating. It's a very spiritual kind of time of the year. We've got the Easter Sunday today. We're right in the middle of Ramadan. Passover will begin April 22nd. Go till the 30th. Andy, put that in your calendar, please.
It's in there.
Yep.
It's highlighted.
The Orthodox Easter, Eastern Orthodox Easter, for my family, Greek Orthodox Easter, is super late this year. It's May 5th.
Wow.
And you know why, Schwani, don't you? The Greek Orthodox Easter is later?
Because of the candy being on sale. But by the time it rolls around, it's not only going to be stale, it's going to be, even be able to eat it.
Oh, no. You have, those chocolate bunnies have sell-by dates of Like 20.
Oh, you're going tomorrow then.
2029.
You're going to the store tomorrow.
Those are good for decades. Are you kidding?
Great shelf life.
Yeah.
What about the little...
Some of those chocolate bunnies are from World War II. Do you know that? they were rations.
Best by 1946.
For the GIs, yeah. Hey, get me a picture of Betty Grable and one of those chocolate bunnies. Hey, look at the gams on that bunny.
This bunny looks familiar.
Boy, they're the cat's meow, I'll tell you.
23 skidoo. Or whatever they said back then. Yeah, well, and this is the point where my mother would go, that's not funny.
That's right.
That joke you tell every year. You tell the same joke. This is what she would say. She's like analyzing my comedy. You tell that joke every year. It's not funny. I'm telling you, it is funny.
I'm laughing.
I would tell her every year, this is funny. And here's the proof. Already on...
The text line,
somebody... The 847 area code, Uncle Dean, I anticipate your Greek Easter half-price candy joke.
See?
We have requests for it. How often do we get requests?
Come on, I want you to play the hits. Come on.
Here's another one. Dean, will you be sharing your list of places to buy Easter candy on Monday? I'm telling you, people love my Easter candy joke.
Wasn't it one year we got... off on the Easter candy joke or sometime at some point, and it ended up being a whole hour of talking about favorite candy bars and favorite candies, that some of which are no longer around.
We could.
And also, we ended up getting a call from an individual who runs a store
that
sells specialized in the retro candy. Mm, yeah.
Good old retro candy.
You know what I could go for right now? It's a nice mallow cup.
Ooh. A mallow cup, yeah.
Do you know what that is, Andy? Mm-hmm.
I do.
That's super retro-y, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I had to keep track of all the things that weren't chocolate as a kid growing up with an allergy to the... So I was more into the Smarties, the Sweet Tarts, the Necco Wafers.
Chuckles.
Chuckles, of course, yeah.
Oh, Chuckles, yes.
Chuckles were really good.
Good and Plenty.
Jujubes, yeah, the Good and Plenty.
Jujubes. My dentist loved one.
Oh, those are I think they were created by a dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to get a business. Filling out? Eat a couple of Jujubes.
Swedish Fish.
Oh, I still love the Swedish Fish.
It's good stuff.
I can't do Good and Plenty anymore. I can't do Jujubes anymore.
Why not?
My dental work won't permit it. So that's because I was eating Good and Plenty and Jujubes when
your denture grip is not holding
up. The denture grip doesn't hold it.
A lot of people don't know during the newscast, Chawani actually takes his teeth and puts them in a glass.
Their teeth were slipping this morning.
Next to him because they rattle too much up here. Some people think there's things wrong with the radio. Really, it's just Chawani's choppers.
Choppers.
Had to take him in and out.
And I think about some of the things I ate as a kid there with the candy. There was this famous one called was Lick-A-Made.
Oh, I loved Lick-A-Made.
That one. With the two pouches and then the stick made of sugar that you would lick and you'd put it in the other sugar. And
pure sugar.
It was unbelievably good.
Sugar on sugar. Yep. It was just sugar powder.
It really was. It was colored or flavored.
And there was one that was in a tube that you poured in your mouth.
Oh, man.
And Lick-A-Made, I seem to remember it also in a packet.
Yeah, it was a packet, and then they were individually pouched within one package.
Right.
And you tear the one to get the stick out. It was a little white stick that was pure sugar, and you lick that and dip it into the sugar and lick that. Oh, man, it was so good.
It was good eating right there.
Oh, the good old days.
Yep.
I am really trying to remember that one. I'm drawing a blank.
I can't believe you don't know it. Maybe you had it, and because you had a sugar overload, you just don't remember.
That has been blotted out.
Yeah, you just don't remember.
Perhaps. That is perhaps. Yeah. Yes, that's the case. So.
Wow. Look at
I
us.
Found it for you.
Look at us going off on a tangent like that. we started the show off. That was the great Carl Anderson. Singing Jesus Christ Superstar to start the show off today from the Broadway smash musical and then motion picture Jesus Christ Superstar. You know who's joining us today? Ted Neely, who played Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Nice.
Yeah.
When is that going to be?
Later.
Later. Yeah. Well, that was real specific.
Well, wait a minute.
It'll be later.
I have to find my meticulous rundown. Not that we haven't completely rehearsed the show already.
I was going to say, you were late for rehearsal.
We go through a dress for every, if you, you don't know this, every Sunday morning. We get here like 5 in the morning.
Easily.
We do a complete show.
5? I'm here at 4, waiting for you.
No, I don't need to be here till 5. I'm the star of the show.
And you're not here at 5 either.
We go, and we, well, as long as we're talking truth, we don't really do a rehearsal either. Uh-huh. But come on, can you stay with me on the concept here for a minute? We go through a complete rehearsal of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at the rundown, and Ted Neely, Jesus from Jesus Christ Superstar, will be on with us right after the 11 o'clock news today.
There's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, one Sunday, years ago, he was on the show on Easter Sunday, back at the old place, at the old dump at Tribune Tower, and gave me a back rub.
You say that again, please?
Ted Neely, Jesus, from Jesus Christ Superstar, gave me a back rub. You act like that's something unusual.
Well,
I require all the guests to come on the show to touch me somehow.
Was that in the showcase, studio?
It was in the showcase, okay. Yeah. And, you know, he's...
No wonder you got funny looks from everybody that were walking by.
People, I gave people their money's worth who were going by. If you were strolling
and
Michigan
on an
Avenue,
Easter Sunday.
On a given Sunday morning.
On an Easter Sunday.
I delivered the goods.
Yes, you did.
It's very true. Yeah, on an Easter Sunday, you're walking by the window and you see the guy that played Jesus giving another guy sitting down a back rub. That's going to stick with you on,
yeah,
on your highlights.
It certainly
of,
is.
This was my trip to Chicago. We went strolling down Michigan Avenue and this is what we saw.
Straight to therapy.
That's actually why we got kicked out of that building.
Yeah.
By the way,
I walked by the building on Tuesday.
Oh, no kidding.
I walked by it. I got all nostalgic too.
What's the deal? What's going on over there?
I was looking for a mattress.
A lot of people don't know it's a mattress store now because we don't have enough of those in the city and the suburbs. Is it nice over there?
Yes, I think it is nice. It's attractive.
Can you see where our studio used to be?
Well, it's all blocked off now, really. There's no real windows to speak of. And I missed the Walk of Fame that was on the south side of the building.
Well, that was removed.
That was removed. I walked by there because
You know where my plaque is right now?
Well, you used to wear yours.
I did wear it like Flava Flav.
Mm-hmm.
Rapper Flava Flav that would wear Giant Clock around.
Giant Clock.
I wore my Walk of Fame plaque around my neck like a medallion for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is yours?
It's in my garage.
I was going to say in the garage. You didn't put it in your front yard?
No, it was. I had it in my
back. On a stone?
On a pedestal?
So everybody could see it?
On a pedestal so everyone could see. I did have it in the backyard for a while, and then I thought it was too creepy. It was like, look at me. So I put
doesn't surprise me.
I put it in the garage. So that's why I put it in the garage, so nobody could see it.
Nobody could see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they pulled those up when we moved out of there, and then they distributed them to each and every one of us. We all have our little plaques now, or whatever they're called, those things.
And you can do with them what you will. Yours is in the garage.
Used to be in the sidewalk where people would spit on it and put their cigarettes out.
Pigeons
would have their way with it. And now it's safe in my garage.
Okay.
Next to my lawnmower.
Next to the lawnmower and stacked up against, old tools.
Yeah.
That are in the garage also.
Patio furniture,
right. Yep. Right.
Wow. We have really drifted around in this segment, haven't we?
Well, that's what we do.
Covered
a plethora of topics here today. I don't know, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if the show could get any more interesting. I'm going to say...
That's it for us. Good night, everybody.
It's all downhill from here, pretty much. Ladies and gentlemen, with the latest now here, is Dave Baby Ruth Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone, and get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We go to New England today.
Oh.
We go to the very prim and proper New England colony of Weymouth, Massachusetts.
Weymouth, how do you spell that?
W-E-Y-M-O-U-T-H. Not Plymouth, but Weymouth,
Weymouth.
Massachusetts. Weymouth. It is now 402 years old.
Wow,
it was settled in 1622, initially called Wessagusset Colony.
Get the heck out of here.
That's what it was called, Wessagusset Colony.
Wessagusset.
Founded by 60 people.
Johnny's drunk this week.
Yeah, he is.
Founded by 60 people. The population now of present-day Weymouth is 52,000.
Hmm.
It is also the birthplace of a lady born there by the name of Abigail Smith.
Hmm.
Any idea who that might be?
Abigail Smith.
Abigail Smith.
Abigail Smith.
Mm, okay, I guess anybody? Bueller?
Singer? A singer?
Bueller? Anybody?
A singer?
No. No. She married a man by the name of John Adams and became Abigail Adams.
Huh.
Of course, her husband also became the second president of the United States, John Adams, Abigail Adams, who on this date in 1776 wrote a letter to John Adams because they were trying to come up with a way to break away from Great Britain at that time.
That.
But Abigail Adams...
What?
I'm listening to you mumble.
I'm giving you support.
Oh, sure.
It's like audience applause.
You're going to love this letter she wrote.
When I go like this. Oh,
wow. Oh, just like on the old game shows. Ooh. Ah.
Ooh.
Keep it up. Just keep it up.
I probably will.
Abigail Adams on March 31st, 1776, wrote, and I quote, "I long to hear that you have declared an independency. And by the way, in the new code of laws, which I suppose it will be necessary for you to make, I desire that you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors.
Oh, look at that.
Mm. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion.
Troublemaker.
And will not hold ourselves bound by any laws.
Abigail's a troublemaker.
In which we have no voice or representation." Rumble, rumble, rumble.
Wow.
Mutiny, mutiny, mutiny.
Wow. Good for her.
And that was 150 years or so before.
Was that the last we heard of her?
No, not at all. But hey, they had to wait 150 years before they could vote.
Huh.
So she was very much ahead of her time.
Yeah, so they apparently took it very seriously.
Right. He made a paper airplane out of the letter.
Right.
But Abigail Adams wrote that March 31st, 1776.
That? Look at that.
Her birthplace, Weymouth, Massachusetts, which has cloudy skies and 46.
Ooh.
Ah.
Gorgeous morning and a great time to check in with Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is joining us this morning to talk about all kinds of medical issues. He is the medical director, of course, emergency medicine, Northwestern Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. And Dr. Silver, welcome as always. Very nice to have you with us. How are you?
Dean, likewise. Happy to talk to you.
So today, I believe, is the final day for what has been designated as Oral Cancer Month. This has been a month of awareness of this very serious problem that so many people face. Talk to us a little about what oral cancer is and, what people should look for.
Sure. Oral cancer is cancer involving the mouth and the back of the throat. So that could be anywhere within those structures, the tongue, the cheeks, and so on. And it's represents about 3% of all cancers diagnosed annually in the U.S. So it's maybe a lesser known cancer, but certainly something that we can all be aware of and potentially catch early if we're dialed into that.
So from where do some of these lesions, I guess you might say, begin? Are they caused because of smoking? Are they just, you know, cancers that grow the way cancer grows in other parts of our body?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Dean. Tobacco would be the number one risk factor. But there's other risk factors that actually you and I have touched on previously, including heavy alcohol use. So there's alcohol rearing its head again. And HPV, the HPV virus, is also potentially a risk factor. And then sun exposure is another one for folks that are out in the sun quite a bit.
Sun exposure for something in your mouth?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Because, you know, well, you have
what kind of sunbathing are people doing out there, laying out in the sun with their big traps open on the beach?
Exactly. Well, if you think about the lips that are part of the mouth,
of course, okay.
And that sort of thing. And then, of course, genetics.
Okay. All right. Very good. So what are the types of things that we can do? Obviously, for the lips, there are sunscreens, there are lip balms, which are also sunscreens, but I suppose any kind of sun protection on your lips and your facial area is also good. But in terms of, you know, other areas, obviously smoking is, you know what to do with that if you have concerns that may cause oral cancer, and it very likely will. What are other preventative measures on that?
So surveillance is really a great one. You know your body better than anybody else does. And so basically, if you have a sore or an irritation or some sort of discoloration that isn't going away, and typically the oral surgeons will say anything kind of sticking around longer than 2 weeks is something that you should probably talk to your dentist about. Likewise, difficulty chewing or swallowing or pain in your mouth. Certainly, if there's a change in the way that your teeth come together, we call that occlusion. Then that would be something to talk to your doctor about. Again, a couple of days of symptoms, maybe not to worry, but certainly, you know, getting into the 3 to 4 week range, you know, it's something to get it looked at.
When you say the way that your teeth close, do you mean the you know, that you open your mouth and close them? If your teeth are closing at you know, some sort of different angle or not closing the way that they always have, that's something that may be of concern?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Interesting. Well, these are all things just to be aware of. I mean, we're not trying to throw a scare into anybody. You know, we bring these things up every week. I always say it's best to arm us with the information that we need. Hopefully we never need to think about it again. But, you know, if somebody is going through something and they heard something that we were talking about, they know to get with their doctors and check things out a little bit. So
I'll give a pitch to the dentists out there, too. It's great, really important to have good oral care. And so if you haven't been to your dentist in a while, you know, make sure you make an appointment to see your dentist. They are part of the primary care team and sometimes overlooked in terms of importance to total body health.
Yeah, they're probably first line of defense on that, right? I mean, because they're
really
focusing in on, you know, all aspects of a healthy mouth. And they're looking in there with all their little instruments.
they sure are.
And saliva sucking devices, all that. But it's a good feeling, though, right? When you leave the dentist after a checkup or a nice cleaning or something, you just feel like so clean after all of that. I actually sort of love it. I wanted to talk about a couple of things related to Easter Sunday. I mean, people are going to go have really nice brunches today and family get-togethers. Kids are going to be doing their Easter egg hunting and probably overloading a little bit on candies and stuff. So I wanted to just talk about a couple of health issues regarding all of that. Let me take a quick break and we'll come right back. Dr. Jeremy Silver is on the line. And also, I want to get some of your questions in. If you've got questions for the doctor about health issues, about vaccinations, et cetera. 312-981-7200 is our telephone line and also our text line. 312-981-7200. All right, we are back at 947, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning with Dr. Jeremy Silver from Northwestern Medicine Kishwaukee Hospital, answering your questions today. Both on our text line and on our phone line, 312-981-7200. So probably, doctor, the number one item, which will be on Easter tables and at Easter brunches today, will be a beautiful ham. That is a traditional dish, of course, for Easter. And, delicious, wonderful, but, man, loaded with salt. What kind of precautions should people be taking? And what kind of effect is there after a heavy salt-filled meal?
Yeah, well, it can be significant. Salt is obviously a critical element for the body. However, in some folks, particularly those with high blood pressure or heart failure, it can be lethal. In large quantities. And so many people who have high blood pressure, about two-thirds of those folks, are going to be something that we call salt sensitive, where their blood pressure actually goes up with the more salt that they intake. Their body just can't metabolize it effectively. And so we often will see the day after a major holiday like an Easter or a Thanksgiving or a Christmas, a certain percentage of folks come in with an exacerbation of their underlying high blood pressure or their underlying heart failure simply as a result of that salt.
Now, is there a way to see that you are on the threshold of eating too much? I know that with an overabundance of salt, people can retain fluids and they become their ankles become swollen. That's like a physical sign. Am I correct on that? Maybe, I like to think I'm a doctor, but nine times out of ten, I'm wrong about stuff.
100%, Dean. The body retains water when you have salt intake, you retain water to kind of dilute that salt, which I think kind of makes logical sense. And then that water just kind of sticks around and in gravity-dependent areas like the feet and the ankles and the legs. But it can also build up in the lungs and make you short of breath.
I didn't know about the breath area, but I guess that makes complete sense with that. But like when people are getting hydrated, though, aren't some of the drinks that people use for hydration, aren't those a little like heavy on sodium to help, I guess, to retain the water, I guess, right?
Right. So in a healthy person who's maybe exercising and losing salt through the sweat.
That's me.
Then you've got, every right to drink those drinks and replace the electrolytes that you lost. Wow. And it makes sense and it works. You think about somebody running a marathon and then drinking a bottle of Gatorade afterwards, and you're replacing the losses.
That's me again. Yep.
So in a healthy specimen like yourself, Dean, no problems. But in folks who are less genetically gifted, they potentially can't manage that.
Right. So I mean, aside from exercising some moderation, or if I know most people just going, oh, what the heck, it's Easter Sunday, I'm going to eat whatever I want, I'll go back to eating healthy tomorrow. What other than that is? Are there things that people can do to ward off some of the bad effects?
Well, I think if Grandpa has high blood pressure and a little bit of heart failure, then I might make him kind of a low sodium ham dinner, and specifically tailor the ingredients to his medical condition. But by the same token, most folks, if they eat in moderation and don't overdo it, are probably going to be okay after one day. But it's the folks who are sensitive or potentially a little bit imbalanced in terms of their biochemistry, and then that one meal just kind of puts them over the edge. So, it, you know, some folks have to just keep it completely locked down, monitor their salt intake, and not go crazy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
When Dr. Kevin Most, you know, joined us to do this segment, and on holidays, you know, we would talk about moderate, you know, healthy eating, moderation with alcohol, with, you know, unhealthy things. You know, people would say that Dr. Most was ruining the holiday for everybody. So get ready for some reaction. I'm sure there'll be some, you know, for, you know, we're just trying to help you people. If you want to eat unhealthy, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. We're just trying to
listen.
We're just trying to keep you around for a little while. That's how we're
trying. It's a free country, Dean. You know, we're also happy to step in and help as medical professionals if things kind of go over the line.
Exactly. So. Do as you please. Do whatever you feel like is the best thing. We're just telling you the things that'll keep you a little bit on the healthy side. That said, kids today are going to be going nuts with the Easter candy. That will be, you know, Easter egg hunts and Easter baskets and, you know, all these delicious things. But, you know, I would imagine that there are some issues for kids, especially overdoing it with the sugar today, right?
Well, in general, kids are overdoing it. You know, we just know that there's a obesity and diabetes epidemic among kids that we didn't have 30 years ago. And so, you know, there's just a lot of processed food and sugary food out there that's being marketed, directly to this age group. And even in some schools, there's, you know, dispensing machines or even in the cafeterias, there's unhealthy options. So it's all over the place. And so, you know, it's just something that we face. You say the kids would be going crazy. I would say they'd be going more crazy than usual.
Yeah, all that
sugar. Knowing my kids.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
Good luck peeling them off the ceiling today after
all that
candy. From the 815 area code, is Mrs. Dash a good alternative to salt? You've seen those in the stores, the salt alternative spices that are out there. Is that a good idea in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's all kinds of, Mrs. Dash, a great example, but any kind of seasoning that's salt-free, that makes the food more palatable or even tastier, I think is fine. You know, you can't live life without seasoning and spices, so yeah. Go for it.
You know what? Years ago, I way backed off on the salt. And I found that it was just a matter of getting used to a different flavor profile for some things, that the food still tasted pretty good without all the salt that I was putting in. Or if I was using, you know, like canned tomato sauce, which is notoriously high in sodium, or, you know, other ingredients, which if you read the labels are notoriously high in sodium, that if you back off those things, eventually you get used to it and you don't miss the salt at all, and you don't even need the salt alternatives anymore.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, you can certainly train your body, whether it's sugary foods or salty items, to kind of go in a different direction, but it does take discipline, you know, it takes time.
Yeah. 847 area code says, our water softener system has water that goes through a salt tank. Is that bad for somebody with high blood pressure?
Wow, that's a really good question. I'm gonna take a gander at that. I take a guess and say probably not. That I would doubt that the water would be, you taste it, right? If it were overly salted, I would think that you would taste it in the water.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take a pass at that one. I think I'd need to look into that and do a little more research, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It seems like if the water is tasting salty, then that may be a problem if you have high blood pressure. But I assume that it's going through a salt process to soften the water from its hard water taste. And
Correct. Is
probably not at a high level. But we'll look into that and see. That's a good question. A lot of people have, you know, water softening systems that I'll bet go through a similar kind of process. And We'll see if we can find an answer to that for you in the next couple of weeks or so. All right. Out of time. Always good to talk to you. Dr. Silver is the medical director of emergency medicine, Northwestern Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you for joining us.
Same to you, Dean. Take care.
So to answer the question that a listener texted into us about salt being used in your water softener system, Shwani, we have this text in from the 608 area code. Dean, I am a chemist. We have chemists listening to the show. Scientists.
I know we do.
It says water
softener. This is a Peabody Award-winning show.
Mr. Peabody Award-winning show.
Thank you, Sherman.
A water softener is an ion exchange process. The salt in the brine tank regenerated the resin that removes the hard ions like iron and calcium. The salt goes down the drain and not into your water supply.
There's your answer.
Well, and how about that?
That makes eminently good sense.
Now you know. Thought I was hearing that it was supposed to be like rain all weekend.
That's what, yeah, that was originally the forecast.
Isn't that the, but like Friday they were saying?
Friday they were saying
it's going to be a washout.
If you have something to do on Easter Sunday, do it in the you know, the earlier the better. There could be some thunderstorms later today, tonight, and tomorrow.
It's pretty nice out to me right now.
Wasn't bad, yeah.
Looks good.
Before it clouded up yesterday, it was a beautiful
yesterday.
Day.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was great out there.
I went out to do my shopping, as I do on Saturday morning, my Saturday ritual, mm-hmm. with my winter coat on, my hat.
That was before you put the coat over the basket, though, and eventually.
I have to bring the coat anyway because I cover my groceries.
Yeah.
I don't want to be judged by anyone. But, yeah, it was. I had stripped down. I was shirtless by the time I left the grocery.
Just like the
other Brad the Underwood. All right, coach. Nice.
Let me just say to my fellow shoppers, you're welcome. Easter Sunday morning. Later in the program, right after 11 o'clock this morning, we will be joined by Ted Neely, who played Jesus Christ in the movie Jesus Christ Superstar. Super nice guy. He's happened to be in Chicago several times doing you know, the production of the show, the original Broadway show, and stopped by our, you know, to visit us here at WGN many times. We've become kind of pals with him, and a lot of people can't say they're pals with Jesus the way that I can. But that movie is classic. Did they show that on TV?
Oh yeah,
I mean this year.
I don't know. That I don't know, but I saw it when it first came out.
I haven't seen it for a
long
time.
And then it was on TV a number of years ago. I don't know if it was on this weekend or recently.
You know, he is touring. He's this morning. He'll join us on the phone because he's in Rhode Island doing a show. It's not Jesus Christ Superstar, but it's a special show that he is doing with Yvonne Elliman.
Oh, wow.
Who played Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene, yeah.
In the motion picture. And
wasn't she in the original version? The
I believe
original
she was
one?
In the original.
Because
it may have even been before Broadway.
Yeah,
been,
yeah.
When it was off Broadway.
And on the original recording. Yeah. The original two LP set, as they used to say.
I don't know how to love him.
Didn't she have a big hit on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, too?
If I can't have you.
I don't want nobody, baby.
I don't want nobody, baby.
Oh, you know that song, but you don't know the
If I can't have you.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Oh.
Wow, listen to you.
Why'd I start him off?
Aggressive.
He's doing his own production now.
Doing this like his Wally Phillips wacky drop-ins. Kim Wasabi. We cannot let him near the sound effects
No.
records. Somebody keep him away from the sound effects records. I missed the annual airing of the Ten Commandments last night. I was out last evening. And I really look forward to that movie. I love the movie. I love the message. But I really love Edward G. Robinson in that movie. That is my, if ever there was miscasting of an actor in a movie, it was Edward G. Robinson. Yeah, Moses. Yeah, see, you guys.
So you're going to bust out tonight, huh?
As Billy Crystal said in one of his comedy routines, yeah, who's your Messiah now, see? Yeah. But I'm sure it was great in the parting of the Red Sea. And
saw that in the theater when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
CinemaScope?
Yeah. Yeah.
Big
1970,
screen.
71, something like that.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
I did. It was really something, you know, back then. Yeah. That was the state of the art in special effects.
Well, it was. It was dazzling. And that's part of the, part of the enjoyment of it now is to see how schlocky the effects are. I mean, seriously, Godzilla versus King Kong is a little more, even more sophisticated than that. And that was cartoonish, believe me. But I mean, what year was Ten Commandments?
56, 57.
Let's look it up.
During the big era there where they were doing all of the epic,
the
biblical blockbusters.
The Ben-Hurs.
Yeah. Ben-Hur, The Robe, Ten Commandments, yeah.
And Commandments. That movie was...
Both Ben-Hur and The Ten Commandments, both featuring Charlton Heston.
Yes, yes. 1956.
56. See?
Charlton Heston, Ewell Brenner.
Yes.
I am at MZ's.
Yes.
Anne Baxter. Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't she the wife of the king there, the pharaoh?
She was the wife of Ramses.
Ramses, right? Yes.
But secretly in love with Moses.
So it shall be written. So it shall be done.
She was Nefertiti. Not enough people being named Nefertiti these days.
Can't find a license plate at Disney World with that name on it.
Yeah, I think I have trouble finding one that says Dean. Good luck for Nefertiti.
Oh, you should just use the one. Remember the little bicycle license plates that we got when we were kids? You couldn't find Dean?
Never. Never.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope. That's why I'm scarred today. That's why I am.
That and the fact that your brothers abandoned you at the movie theater when you saw that.
Yeah, they would be forced to take me to the movies with them and then ditch me. When
See ya.
Many reasons that I'm a damaged man today. here's another cast member, Yvonne DiCarlo.
In Ten Commandments?
As Sephora. She was Moses' wife.
Moses' wife, yes.
And Lily Munster.
Ah.
How about that?
I thought that would get a bigger response from you. I went right back to a 60s TV show and you didn't respond. Are you okay? Oh, yes.
Now he's getting
Kimosabi. Yeah. Classic movie. Classic. Yeah.
That's been re-released a couple times. You know, when I saw it in the 70-71, it was already, what, 16, 17 years old then.
Yeah.
They re-released it.
In the theaters?
In the theaters.
Oh, you saw it in theaters.
Saw it in the theater, yes.
Yeah, you would have been too young to go to the movies when it first came out.
I was maybe not even around yet.
You were. 1956?
Well,
yes, you were.
Well, it depends on when the movie was released.
You were born when the Andrews sisters were popular.
Speaking of someone else who has been around for a little while and who may be celebrating a special day today.
Orion Samuelson?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yes, and we had a wonderful get-together here, kind of a sing-along for Happy Birthday
today,
for Orion.
Today is Orion Samuelson's 90th birthday.
And I know someone else who's having...
Wait. I want to go back to... We'll get to what you want to say in a second.
All right.
But Orion Samuelson, who retired... is turning 90 years old today. So what was it, like the whole staff here got together?
Everybody that was available went into the studio there across the hall from you.
Right.
Performance studio. Yeah. We did an audio video production of a Happy Birthday.
Into the performance arts studio that we have right across the hall from me right here.
That's right.
And this is what it sounded like.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Orion. Happy birthday to you.
Bob Kessler on the harmonica.
That was, right? That was very nice.
Leading the group. Yeah, we did it in two takes.
Very, very nice. I did see you in the... If you want to see the video of that, and boy, why wouldn't you? Boy, will Orion be happy to see all of you guys.
I'm sure he was.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was very grateful. Very, very nice. Yeah, so very nice. The whole staff got together to show their love, to show their caring for this WGN broadcast legend, which brings us back to what you were about to say about another WGN broadcast
broadcast legend indeed.
Yes.
Friends and neighbors, I am delighted and proud to announce that it is the birthday also of one Dean Richards.
How about that?
Happy birthday to you, Dean.
How about that?
And we have a special greeting from a group of bakers.
I wonder who this could be.
You've never heard of the Howard Fine and Howard Bakery?
Haven't you been so busy with your sound effects that you have time for this?
Well, we've got a special treat from them.
Wow. We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me, and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Hey, happy birthday!
Hi. Happy birthday!
Hey, pick two.
One, two.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Happy birthday and many, many more.
And
on Easter Sunday, too.
I know. So, I don't know if you know this, that the whole WGN staff got together to sing Happy Birthday to me also.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. You were there.
Why wasn't I invited?
You were there.
Oh, I was there?
Yeah, you were there. Just listen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Dean.
Happy birthday to you.
Wasn't that nice?
That's so way to go, Jack.
That's so thoughtful. That's so thoughtful.
That's great.
Nice work, Jack.
Yeah, very nice. Appreciate that. So Shawnee gave me a lovely birthday gift from the Sunday Morning Crew this morning. And may I say, beautifully wrapped also.
I thought so.
Natural wrapping.
Yeah. I don't know if some of you are familiar with the fancy gift wrapping the Jewel has when you go to shop at their stores. They have these white plastic bags that you can put stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful birthday decorative wrapping.
I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, very, very nice.
I think it's fine.
It's fine. You think everything's fine. But it says, from all of us, how to have a happy birthday. If it's frosted, eat it. If it's work, delete it. And if it's fun, repeat it.
Nice.
Wishing you a birthday so great, the happy lasts all year. And it's signed by Shawnee. It's signed by Andy. It's signed by Jess in the newsroom. Bob Ferguson, our engineering chief here on the show, says, I hope you have a Dean's List A-plus year. Opa, Bob Ferguson.
That's awesome.
Appreciate that. Tony DeNardis. I don't know who Tony DeNardis is. Oh, that's Tony. He's with Jack. I met him this morning, but I forgot his name.
Boy, how friendly are you to your colleagues and coworkers?
You know what? I only learned Jack's name like 2 weeks ago.
I'm very delighted I got a card that you could read on the air because I saw...
I got halfway into reading this going, I didn't really check to see if it's broadcast friendly.
I'm really glad I did that now.
Turns out it is. And then producer Jack, or as I like to now call him, Jack Hammer... Because he don't take no stuff from anyone.
No, we don't.
He runs this show, like, with an iron fist. Happy birthday, Dean. Now, Jack's handwriting is a little bit questionable. And at first I thought it said, I hate you.
I thought it said that too.
Right? His handwriting. And I thought, wow, that is a really honest birthday greeting. Happy birthday, Dean. I hate you because you deserve it, is what I thought it said. But it turns out we had some hieroglyphics experts come in, and they decoded this, and it says, I hope you have an amazing day because you deserve it, from Jack Hammer.
I got many qualities in handwriting. It's not
handwriting is definitely not one of them.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't hate you. But
your editing skills are great, though, Jack. The way you just kind of worked in Dean there during the happy birthday song.
You could barely tell that was edited.
It was flawless.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I thought it was the whole group.
Yeah. Can we hear that one more time? You got that handy? Let's hear that one more time because it's such a touching, beautiful birthday tribute. The whole cast of WGN singing to me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
Happy birthday, dear
Dean.
Happy birthday to you.
Nice.
That is flawless. It's absolutely flawless.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
So the birthday gift, which the entire Sunday morning crew here gave me, is something I've talked about many times on the show, my love of Bugle snacks. Bugle corn chips, crispy corn snacks.
You can eat them off your finger.
Yeah,
I debated about getting the family size.
This is pretty large size.
Here, I know. Maybe.
But you take the Bugles, see, and you put them all. Can you guys see?
Mm-hmm.
You put them like on your finger, like, oh, look, I have long fingernails now.
Yeah.
That I can eat. Glad we're not talking about high sodium with Dr. Silver now. Woo, baby.
Where's the onion dip?
I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to mention. The Shawnee also got me, because I've talked about it many times, Lipton soup and dip mix, the powder, and a little pint of sour cream that's probably been sitting out since 5 o'clock this morning.
No, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
So I'm pretty sure it's very, very safe.
And now I thought I'd give you a little treat for your birthday.
Yeah, it's going to keep on giving for the rest of the day. So for the first time ever in WGN history, I'm going to make the onion dip.
Oh, you're doing it? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I do a cooking segment. I know
what's going on back there.
Yeah. So I'm pouring the dip, the dry dip mix, into the sour cream. Ooh, Bob Surratt's going to be happy when he sees this powder all over the deck. It's going to remind him of the 1970s. Yeah, so I'm going to mix this up, and then we can I don't even know what that means.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, you know what's good? You take some of this dip mix before it gets mixed in for like a supercharge. Hang on a second. Let me dip.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's good, baby. Oh. Ah. Well, baby. We better get Dr. Silver back on the phone. I may need the AFib machine after this. Right in the middle of the Muslim holiday of Ramadan that's going on. We've got Passover beginning April 22nd. The Orthodox Easter, Eastern Orthodox Easter, is super late this year. May the 5th. Is when that's going to take place. Look forward to that. Doing a little celebrating today. Hopefully you are, with a nice Easter brunch or get together with family for the holiday. And in our Week in Theater segment, what's going on around town in theater? We've got a lot that is opening this week in Chicago. Just opened is Peter Pan. That is downtown at the Niederlander Theater. It will be running for another week until April the 6th. It's an all-new production of this newly produced Broadway hit that's coming off of Broadway and now here in Chicago. So if you're a fan of this classic show, of this classic story, that's one that you should think about. We have the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. super popular show, and that is over at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts, being put on by Music Theater Works. Really cute production, really fun production, something to think about. The group that we had in here last Sunday, and oh man, did we ever have a lot of reaction to the Choir of Man, the nine-voice singing group that we brought in last Sunday, and they performed, first time in Chicago they performed publicly. They just opened their show in previews. It will officially open on Wednesday. I can't wait to go and see the show I'll put together of tremendous songs and, you know, great performance. The message of the show is brotherhood and everyone, you know, working together instead of working to, you know, working apart from each other. That is at the good old Apollo Theater on North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, where probably the longest running show there was Million Dollar Quartet. So these guys are going to be taking over this stage. They sound tremendous. If you missed it last week, I posted up their performance here on our show last week on my Facebook page, Dean Richards WGN. If you go to search for it on Facebook, you can easily find it there and check that out. But that is going on in the Chicago area this week. The Penelopeiad, which is a take on The Odyssey, the famous Greek mythological story of the Odyssey, is told from a woman's point of view in this production that's at the Goodman Theater right now. So there's something else that you can check out. There is a Sondheim tribute, which is going on at the Theo Theater Center. Also, we've got Jersey Boys that is just opened over at the Mercury Theater in Chicago. I am really looking forward to seeing this particular production of Jersey Boys. I've always been a fan of the show. They were in here, I think, 2 weeks ago, and they performed for us live. And, you know, it's the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Now, you know, this was a multiple Tony Award-winning hit on Broadway. It toured the country in you know, in that configuration, the one that was on Broadway, for quite some time. It's been here in Chicago a couple of times, but this is the first time that this show is being produced by a local theater company. And over at the Mercury Theater, it's a more intimate space, and I think you're really going to get caught into the action of the show and the songs. The guys sound fantastic, who are Frankie Valli and the, you know, playing Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. The choreography's there. The Mercury Theater, by the way, did a fairly extensive renovation of their theater to accommodate the show. They upgraded the sound. They upgraded the seating. They made a lot of changes there. And I suspect Jersey Boys over at the Mercury Theater is one that is going to be there for a while. So know that you can go and see that right now as well. There is quite a bit that is going on in the Chicago area right now. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little about a show which is celebrating its birthday today. March 31st, 1943 is when this classic of the American stage first opened on Broadway. What show is it? I'm going to tell you in just a minute. Away. Just one of the many, many, many classic songs in Oklahoma, one of the great American musicals that opened on Broadway March 31st, 1943. So Orion's celebrating his 90th birthday today. I'm celebrating my birthday today. And Oklahoma celebrating its birthday today as well. Now, this is so interesting, as it has become one of the most popular musicals and long-lasting musicals of all time. When it first opened, it was not a big hit. It took some time for the show to go on to set a Broadway record of 2,212 performances before closing just 5 years later. Now, you know, the show also opened at a time which was very, very difficult on Broadway. It was 1943. There was quite a bit going on in the world just then. During the war years, Producers had difficulty even getting shows up and running at that time on Broadway or anything else. So, they finally did. As I say, it did not open to the greatest reception in all. In fact, the famous entertainment or really gossip columnist Walter Winchell, he was, you know, the Entertainment Tonight of his day, and he was on radio, so, you know, his words carried a lot of weight. When this show opened, a part of his review said, in this show, there are no girls, no legs, no chance. No chance that this show would go on to any sort of success. Interestingly, the show was the first show that was undertaken by the already legendary composer Richard Rodgers without his longtime partner Lorenz Hart. Hart had had lots of problems in his life that had rendered him unable to work by 1942. So Rodgers undertook this particular project with another lyricist by the name of Oscar Hammerstein II. Rodgers and Hammerstein. They instantly clicked as a songwriting duo and produced all of the wonderful songs that that really are now anybody would know or sing. The show, when it first opened in 1943 on this date, had no big name stars in the show. It was really about spectacle, as it was described by the reviews back in the day, that this show had a lone cowboy singing the song that you just heard, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, singing a song about the corn in the meadows. And, from that, a beautiful love story came, and its legendary theme song would come from the whole thing as well. So today we remember another of the great anniversaries that are taking place today, March 31st, 1943, the first time that Oklahoma appeared on Broadway. How about that? The title song from the classic Oklahoma, Rodgers and Hammerstein's classic American musical. It is making its debut on this day, March 31st, 1943, a day we remember today in theater history. I wish we had a good production of Oklahoma, or any production of Oklahoma in the Chicago area right now. I love when the classic shows come back through Chicago, or, one of the theaters just goes back and reproduces a classic like this. That would be fantastic. But we do have a lot that's amazing that's going on in Chicago right now. And as always, I recommend to you, go to the box office, support your local theater, support the actors, support the crews that work on these shows. There are a lot of people who are working hard to bring you this great entertainment. Hopefully you can go and enjoy them, whether they're out in the suburbs or here in the city, down in the theater district. One of the places that you should go is hottix.org. Let me just see if it's an org or a com. Like, I want to always get it wrong. It's hottix.org. 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 That is the website of the League of Chicago Theaters, where they offer half-price tickets for shows and discounted tickets for many of the shows around the Chicago area. Not all of them, but most of them. And why not save a couple of bucks and support local theater if you can? So happy anniversary to Oklahoma. Wanted to remind you about something special that's going to be going on WGN television tomorrow morning. We broke ground with our TV morning show, which started off as just a 1 hour show and then expanded and expanded again, and then started at 5 o'clock in the morning. And now we started 4 o'clock in the morning and we go until 10 tomorrow morning. WGN morning show will start at 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And there are some, I don't, I don't, I, First of all, I can't tell you what the surprises are that are planned. I know there are many, but I'm not allowed to tell anything.
3:30 start time tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, when Jeff Hoover's involved, you know something's going to go
wrong. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
Incidentally, we have someone in our midst who is in a production of Oklahoma.
Who's that?
Our own Andy Mazur.
Eighth grade, Apollo Junior High School.
Get the heck out of here.
Yep.
What role did you play?
I was Ike Skidmore. I have no idea who he was or what he does.
But you're giving me a straight line like that?
Yeah.
Hey. You played someone named Skidmore?
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Trust me, I got it.
I'm restraining. Using all the restraint, what little restraint that I have left at this point in my life, I'm using right now, too.
I think he had something to do with owning the barn or something. I can't remember.
There was Did you sing?
I don't remember. I know we had a little dance. We had to do some dance stuff on stage.
Would pay. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you
we have, need video
anybody
of this.
Has Super 8 video or Super 8 film.
Yeah, Betamax.
Betamax, right. Right.
This was like 1980, I think.
I would pay big money to see little Andy Mazur.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't know you were a thespian.
I wasn't on purpose.
Were you forced?
I think I got roped into it somehow, some way.
Were you forced?
I don't think I was forced. I was coerced. Strongly encouraged to participate.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You're a well-rounded person.
Sure.
No pressure, but you were strongly encouraged to participate.
Right.
Unlike
exactly
others on the show, Andy, you are a well-rounded person.
Well, thank you.
Person.
Appreciate that. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Was there an insinuation there?
None whatsoever. I didn't read anything into that.
There's a lot of other people on the show. You're not the only one around here.
Yeah.
What theatrical productions were you in?
Where do you want me to start?
At the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah.
A Christmas Carol.
Who did you play?
I played Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, why am I not surprised? I can't believe that you give me a straight line like
time
that.
For-
so this morning, we've been playing clips of famous motion pictures that have an Easter bent to them, a religious bent to them, given this special day of Easter Sunday today. As I'd mentioned, we're in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking with Ted Neely, who played Jesus Christ in both the stage production and motion picture Jesus Christ Superstar. Super, super nice guy. And we'll talk with him in a couple of minutes. Did I ever tell you my encounter with Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in the movie Passion of the Christ? Remember that one? That was the one that Mel Gibson. Big difference.
Two very pretty, different Mels
pretty,
there.
Pretty big difference. Mel Gibson, that was that super violent version of the crucifixion. I was interviewing John Schneider. Remember from Dukes of...
Yes, yes, yeah.
I was at his house. That's where I famously dented his car, trying to jump in his car.
Like they did on the show?
Yeah, I did, except I forgot that I had a big microphone pack strapped to my belt buckle in the back, and when I jumped on the car, the microphone pack dented his car. $6,000 worth of dent we wound up paying for that. But anyway, while I was there interviewing John Schneider, this Lamborghini pulls up into the driveway. Like real fancy, dramatic. Driving a Lamborghini, the Lamborghini door opens. Who gets out of the car? Jesus. Jim Caviezel is there driving a Lamborghini. So I've had a couple of encounters with actors who have played Jesus through the years. But, yeah, we've been featuring. We talked about King of Kings earlier. We talked about, some of the classic movies.
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on. Yeah, see? Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the movie yesterday? Yeah. Yeah, the dames love it.
Who was Jesus in King of... Was that Jeffrey Hunter that I think played Jesus in King of Kings?
I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can see his face.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember who exactly played them. But as many people are pointing out on our text line today, there is one movie that is their favorite biblical movie of all time. at least a portion of the movie. Anyway, do you know?
Yeah, Andy, I think I have an idea where you're going.
Andy's way ahead of me on this. Speaking of Mel Brooks, that's why he was on my mind a moment ago. From his History of the World, here comes Moses down from the mountain with the Tablets of Commandments.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey.
Welcome back. It's 11:12. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Easter Sunday morning, and it's become a little bit of a tradition to talk to our next guest on Easter Sunday morning. He's been with us several times, both here in Chicago and on the phone. He starred as Jesus Christ in the original stage version of Jesus Christ Superstar, and then in the motion picture version. Ted Neely is on the phone line with us. I believe you are in Rhode Island right now, if my travelogue is correct. Is that right? Good morning.
That's true. How are you?
Doing very well. But tell us what's going on in Rhode Island right now.
Who gets to talk to you on the radio, man? I'm so lucky. Thank you.
Well, it's always our pleasure to talk to you. As I've been saying all morning, promoting that you're going to be with us here today. No nicer guy that there could be. I've had the honor of seeing you and getting to know you a little bit, and truly one of the nicest people you can imagine.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
We got to figure out ways to hang out, and we can't.
Huh? Right. Well, you need to bring some shows to Chicago or something. That way,
absolutely,
for sure. But what are you doing in Rhode Island?
Well, we did a concert. Yvonne and I had a concert 2 nights ago.
Yvonne Elliman. How great is that?
Yeah, and boy, the audience just went nuts the minute she opened her mouth, man. See, they love her so much. Absolutely incredible.
Now, this was a concert. This was not a production of Jesus Christ Superstar, right?
Yeah, we did a concert of various songs from the show and her hit records, of course. And the bottom line was the audience just went berserk. And today we're going to do a screening in the same theater.
Fantastic. And then you'll probably have a Q&A or something to go along with it.
Yeah, we do all of that. Yeah. It's wonderful, man. We do everything we do. It's just the people just seem to know what we're going to say even before we say it. They're cheering at everything. Just incredible.
I could,
singing along. Unbelievable.
I could so see a show like that at our Chicago theater down on State Street on an Easter Sunday morning. Oh, my gosh, that would be a sellout in a second, I'll bet. Ted,
I love it, man.
Yeah, when did this all start for you? Take us back to when this was first going on stage. I have to think that there was a little bit of controversy about staging a rock musical about Jesus Christ.
Well, you're absolutely right, because when we did the Broadway show, every single performance we did, and we did 8 shows a week, was protested out at 51st and Broadway. There was never any violence, but they were so angry that we were there doing that horrible anti-Christian show, It was ironic because we literally had to fight our way in to get into the, I don't mean fight, face fight, but to squeeze through to get in the backstage to go to work.
Wow.
And the people that were protesting, the bottom line was the protesting became a way of promoting the show. Because with that going on at 51st and Broadway every night, the TV was always there checking out what's happening. So they were all advertising us while they were trying to get us to stop.
Right. The greatest publicity you could possibly get. When did it begin to turn around and people saw what the show was really
about?
Well,
I guarantee you this. Talking about the people for us to get in, we had to literally gently work our way through. And the producers told us, don't say anything to anybody because they may punch you right in the mouth. So the bottom line is, whenever we were going through, if I ever caught you know, eye contact with somebody, I would say, may I ask a question, please? They say, sure, sure, sure. What? I'd say, have you seen our show? No, we'd never go into that den of iniquity.
Right.
If you haven't seen the show, what is it you don't like? The title. The title is horrible. Mm. And we hear Jesus sing. Jesus doesn't sing, and he sings with a rock and roll band. This is crazy. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if the person listened to me for a second, I'd say, would you please come in as my guest tonight? Stay in the lobby after you see the show, and I'll come out, and you can tell me what we can fix. Wow. You do that? Yeah, okay. So the ones who were brave enough to come in, I'd go out at the lobby, and they would be standing there going, we love your show. It's incredible.
Oh, wow. You know? Look at that. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing. It's actually very moving. You know, once you do see the show, I mean, I remember first being exposed to it all when the movie came out. And, you know, this was a time when we were, you know, teenagers, late teens or, you know, early 20s. And, you know, back then, you know, we were questioning everything. You know, the young generation, we questioned everything. And this was an affirming, positive message that we had all grown up with, who went to Sunday school, who went to you know, any kind of religious training. It was a new way of talking to this generation about something that was very meaningful and profound at the same time.
Oh yeah, that's going on in Chile right now.
Really,
literally, they're doing Easter screenings, and people are lined up around the block waiting to see if they might get a ticket to get in, because it's all sold out.
How about that?
Upon thousands of people are writing to us every day saying, please come to Chile, please come.
Isn't that something? How about that?
It is.
So what has life been like for you since the worldwide popularity of this movie? I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know if I could ever see you in like a detective drama now or a rom-com or something. You will, you know, forever you will be Jesus to me.
And along with that, forever 33.
There you go. Attaboy. That's right. Nothing wrong with that. If you're going to take one title, you may as well take the other too.
Please, yes. Yeah, well, it has been such an amazing experience. I mean, when we were shooting the film in Israel, we didn't even know if it was going to be released, because Norman Jewison, who wrote the screenplay and, of course, was our director, when he finished it all together, he went back to all those studios that he'd worked with for years making big, wonderful movies, and nobody was interested. They all said, Norman, you're wasting your time. Nobody wants to hear or see a movie about a rock opera, and especially if it's religion. So forget about it. Right. So he just put some buddies of his together, and they did it themselves. There you go.
Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely amazing. There is opportunities for you to see Ted Neely and Yvonne Elliman, which we'll tell you about when we come right back from the break. Ted Neely on the phone line with us. If you've got a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Next, it's 1123. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. The great Ted Neely, the man himself, with us on the line from Rhode Island. This morning, where he and Yvonne Elliman are doing a concert, and today we'll host a screening of the movie Jesus Christ Superstar in a question and answer period, something I hope some smart producer here in Chicago puts together so we can get these guys here into Chicago. Oh, man, just to hear Yvonne Elliman singing I Don't Know How to Love Him and some of her great hits, Ted, it gives me goosebumps. Just thinking about it.
The people last night just went crazy when she just sang the first line of the song.
Yeah, it's something.
She's great.
It is something.
Great.
What do you think of when you hear this song, the first time that you heard that song, I presume on stage? What was your reaction when you first heard that?
I got to tell you, just the way she does it, it just pours your heart wide open, and she just, it's almost like she's actually that person doing what she's doing. It's just, she was a miracle. She did, you know, she was on that first Brown album, and then she did the Broadway show, and then she did the film. So everybody loves Yvonne Elliman. She's wonderful.
Yeah, and you and Yvonne are hosting a cruise. I mean, how cool, how cool would this be to go on a nice little vacation, but to do it with Ted Neely and Yvonne Elliman? Give me some details on this.
I got you. Well, it's on the Princess Cruise Line, and it leaves out of Los Angeles, and it goes into Mexico, and you can find all that information on my tednevy.com, or you can check Princess Cruise Line itself, and I think it's coming up in October of this year. And we're looking forward to all of that because we got the cruise princess, the lady who books all of that stuff on our team, so to speak. And she's doing everything she possibly can to make sure it's packed and we can have a wonderful time.
Sure. In addition to seeing Ted Neely go to town on the buffet tables, I presume, because everybody does on a cruise, right? Everybody does.
Yeah, that's my first time.
Yeah, I presume you guys will be performing as well on the cruise, right?
Yes, yeah, we'll be doing all kinds of VIP stuff, you know, and conversations with the people and performing as well. So it's going to be a wonderful experience.
TedNeely.com to get more information on that. Here's Robin on the phone line at 312-981-7200. You're on with Ted Neely. Hi, Robin.
Hello, I'm so excited to speak to you.
Hi,
it was ages ago, and I just wanted to say that I had tickets for my mother-in-law and mom to go see you at a local theater. I forgot where it was because it's been so long ago, and to find out that you were sick and there was a fill-in, which was still good, but they had never seen this or heard of it, and they loved it. And I just love you,
wonderful.
And I just hope that you can come here again. That would be great. My friend and I would get tickets for sure.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, and we love Chicago. We've been there many times, and it's always a wonderful experience.
Ted, that sort of speaks to the power of the show, right? That, yeah. I mean, you know, actors are going to get sick after actors need to take days off for a variety of reasons, but it says that even when you come to the show, it's the power of the show, the power of the message and the songs that drive all of this, right?
You couldn't say it more perfectly. Absolutely right. And anytime that we have the opportunity to do it anywhere, we're going to get that done because it's the best experience of our lives, and we just want to keep doing it as often as possible.
It was. It was magic.
Robin,
thank you so much. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Yeah, thank you.
Happy Easter to you as well.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the phone call. Ted, talk about your fellow co-stars. We talked about Yvonne, but, you know, from stage to the motion picture version, the people that helped to make this motion picture a classic, who are the ones that you felt were the most powerful?
Well, Bob Bingham, who played Caiaphas, he was in the Broadway show. So was Kurt Yagen, who played Annas. They were both in the Broadway show as well. And we even had some of the wonderful castmates in the Broadway show who were also in the film. Norman Jewison was incredibly research-wise, so to speak, about the people who loved to see what was going on. And he cast an entire bunch of unknowns, in terms of worldwide fame, sort of, to be in his film. And the only person in the whole film that had been in the film before was Barry Dennen, the man who played Pontius Pilate. He did Fiddler on the Roof with Mr. Jewison just before we did Superstar. So we were all out there being taught by Norman Jewison what we're supposed to do when he says action and cut. It just was incredible.
I remember you telling me that story that, you know, these were a bunch of singers, for the most part, who learned how to become actors in this, which is so amazing because, I mean, this film is truly, you know, like one of the classic motion pictures of all time. And all of you guys were getting on-the-job experience and the learning.
Incredible. The whole time, Norman Jewison treated us like we had been working with him for years. He never once made us feel like the, shall we say, unknowns that we were.
Yeah.
He did everything he could to make us be comfortable and took, you know, he could have done the film in any desert anywhere, but he took us to Israel because he wanted us to feel the essence of what we were pretending to be. And it was magnificent.
Yeah. Once again, Ted Neely and Yvonne Elliman will be hosting a cruise, Princess Cruises, in October. And information again, Ted, is tedneely.com.
Tedneely.com.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Get some
They can go to Princess Cruise Line as well if they want to do that. They'll fill them in as well.
Very good. You know, you'll be completely entertained. You know, who can say that they've had a bad time on a cruise? Very few. And you go on this and you will learn, as I have learned, what a super, super, super nice person Ted Neely is.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, by hanging out with them there. Ted, happy Easter to you. Break a leg at the show today with you and Yvonne. And it's wonderful to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for doing this. I love talking with you, and I hope to see you face-to-face as soon as possible.
Likewise. The great Ted Neely, everyone. Hope that rain holds off for the kids today doing their Easter egg hunts.
Well, it doesn't look like it's moving in anytime soon here.
It's a little bit cloudy, but
not the darker stuff that you'd want to see with the rain, yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for you, too, because I don't know if a lot of people know this. Every year, Schwanee dresses up in an Easter bunny costume for no reason, really.
He forgets to take it off. Like 2 weeks after Easter, and he's still got it on.
Oh, right, yeah. In the middle of June. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He leaves it on longer than he leaves his I voted sticker on.
I was tempted to find that and put it on your birthday present this morning.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I know it would be super hygienic by 2 weeks after the event.
On a food item, right?
Yeah, exactly. Did you get some of the onion dip, by the way?
Yes, I did. It was delicious. Thank you.
Schwanee gave me a bag of Bugles and some French's onion dip mix.
No, Lipton onion.
Lipton, right. Lipton onion dip mix and some sour cream, and we're having a Bugle festival here.
And why don't you mention the reason? Yes, right.
Yeah.
For those of us who may have joined later. Yes, it's your birthday today. Oh, happy birthday.
Suddenly you have a problem with bringing things up 2 hours after we talked about them on the show. That song, which has become iconic now, on the friendly confines, originated by WGN. That's why the line in the song is, you can catch it all on WGN. Remember those days? Tomorrow is the home opener for the Cubs. Weather permitting, what's the deal on all this now? They're playing who tomorrow?
They're playing the Rockies tomorrow.
Since they went off WGN, I haven't really been paying that much attention.
So they're playing the Rockies tomorrow. Then they have an off day, which is built in case the opener gets rained out, and then they'll continue the series on Wednesday and Thursday.
Is that likely? Is there that much of a chance of rain?
It's possible. I've heard up to 60% chance of rain, but again, that means there's a 40% chance it won't.
I've sat through way worse weather on opening days than that.
Yeah, and I've sat through Bears games worse than that, too.
The weather has been ironically very similar.
Very close, yes.
Very, very similar to those kinds of things. You know, it'll be the usual opening day fun, weather permitting, I guess, over at the friendly confines. And not too many people know, you know, what it's like to be out in the cold. Out at Wrigley Field, then our next guest on the program and longtime pal, Mr. Gary Pressey, longtime organist for your Chicago Cubs. Hello there, my friend. I love that.
Now, I believe in my 33 years, we had two snowouts. I believe 03 and 2018, we had two
snowouts. For opening day or just in general?
Yeah, for opening day. Mm-hmm. Well, but can I play one song before we start? It's very appropriate that I play this one song. Let me put the phone down, and here we go.
Gary Pressey. I love the flourish at the end, the patented Gary Pressey flourish.
We have to add something else. You've been doing this all day.
Oh, look at him. Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. You are just amazing.
You know that in 1994, Tuffy Rhodes hit three home runs his first time up on opening day off Dwight Gooden. And as he rounded the base for his third home run, I broke into Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, of course.
And got a little pub on that. But it's great to talk to you guys. It's great to hear the Walter Cronkite of news.
Dave Schwann?
Dave. Oh, man.
Oh, please don't. Please don't put that. Don't put that bug into Schwanny's head that he's, that he's the wall. Oh, my gosh. We're never going to hear the end of this.
You're never going well, to
hear. There's a sound bite you're going to hear over and over and over again.
He's going to demand a walk-up song every time he has news.
Right. Yeah. So, Gary, if Schwanny was walking up to home plate, what would you play for him right now?
Oh, let me see. I tell you what, you can. So easy to talk about you because he's talking about the news.
Ah, I would have thought like maybe the Andy Griffith theme.
Oh.
Gary's like a jukebox.
He's got it down.
I just keep putting quarters in him. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Thank you.
Dave, you're the best. Thank you very much. And I'm telling you, you are the best. I really enjoy all you people, all you guys. And Andy Major, him and I go way back.
Way back.
Way back.
Exactly.
And Dean, you also. I believe, Dean, you did sing The Stretch, and you sang it very well.
I did. Well, I did go up there, and somehow you made me sound.
You sang the seventh inning stretch?
Of course.
Wow.
It's a good thing you didn't go 14. You'd have to do it then.
Yeah, but, I forget what year that was, but yeah, somehow I got invited to do that. It was really fun.
Early 2000s, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, of course I remember doing it and how terrified I was. What I remember most of seventh inning stretch history with you is when Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne were up there.
Well, I am convinced that he sang it backwards. I mean, if you really hear it, and at the end he does say, sort of, let's get some runs. But I believe, and of course the quickest one of them all.
Oh, Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka, you know, that was. But see, if they don't remember your style, your performance, that means you did a good job.
Yeah, I just kept it, you know, like I just wanted to keep it on the rails. I was lucky enough to throw out the first pitch once too, and I was like, please don't let me throw it into the left field bleachers or something.
Well,
I did an okay job on that as well, I think.
You know, my mom, who will be turning the century mark on July 25th.
That's phenomenal, yeah.
Thank you. She threw out the first pitch in 2016.
Wow.
And she told Justin Grimm, with the help of God, the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
Oh,
well, God was listening.
That was the year. That was the
so
year.
So she threw it. Actually, she threw a split-finger pitch. It sunk to the ground. But mine, I threw mine on the last day of my my career there.
Yeah.
It was kind of outside.
Yeah. It's scary.
Mom did a better job.
It's not as easy as, you know what, we're all quick to criticize people who do it. It's not as easy as it looks.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, you get on that mound and you got 80,000 eyes looking at you.
Right. You got all the eyes looking at you, number one. But no matter how much you've practiced, and I did practice because I didn't want to look like a dope. It's completely different when you're on the mound because you're standing up higher.
Yes, it's 60 feet 6 inches. Yeah, at least mine didn't go to the backstop. I mean, these are the years, and that's all that counts.
Yeah, yeah, it was good enough. Let's go back real quick for this Ozzy Osbourne memory. And the great Gary Pressey trying to keep up with this train wreck.
Here we go.
Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne!
Okay. Yeah. That is hilarious.
You know what it was, maybe, Dean? Maybe he sang it in a different language.
That's very, yeah, Ozzy language.
It was the Ozzy language.
Now,
the end, he did.
I was following him around with the TV camera that day, and I was standing just right off to the side while he and Sharon were doing that. He had the lyrics right in front of him. So how he went off on some of those lyric tangents is beyond me. How you
below, that's for sure.
How you kept up with him and like tried to anticipate what he was going to do is was amazing.
Yeah, he will definitely be in my top five.
Yeah. Who else is in your top five besides Ditka?
You know, it's so funny. Like today, now today's Easter Sunday, we had Cardinal George come and sing.
Wow!
And the Cubs are trailing by a run, and in the bottom of that inning, Sandberg hit a home run. Now, there you go, divine intervention. But Vince Scully was really, I believe, the most purest of all singers. He sang that like, oh my goodness,
right?
An Irish tenor could not have done a better job.
Yeah.
And so many people's walks of life that I met, ball players and actors and politicians, and then I had a chance to do it three times. I made sure I played the organ loud so they could get over here. It's, you know, I tell you what, it's the first time I did it, it was like, okay, let's get this over with. Because it is, when I'm on the other side playing it, it's different than when I was actually singing it.
Oh, yeah.
But it turned out okay.
It's a little terrifying when you're behind the mic. I mean, you're standing in the press box,
yeah.
You know, at a certain point in time, Harry Carey was right there, and Steve Stone was right there, or Chip Carey. I think Chip Carey was there when I did it.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, you're standing up there in, you know, this iconic place. And everybody's up, you know, they're looking at you, they're holding beers.
You know what, Dean, the worst, it's the best thing, but the worst thing is if the Cubs make a sensational play to end the inning,
because yeah.
then the crowd is really getting goofy and loud.
Yep.
And then you've got to get going, and the crowd is still cheering about that great play.
Right, but yeah, they could care less about you at that point. they're high-fiving each other down on the stands.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, they all looked up and said, it's Dean.
Right, Gary Pressey, longtime Cubs organist on the line. We'll come back and talk more with him next. 11:53, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Gary Pressey, longtime Cubs organist, on the phone line with us this morning. Gary, I'll bet you could break right into this song, Hey, Hey, Holy Mackerel, without even thinking about it. Second nature, right? Da 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 da.
That song reminds me of one of the famous openers that I remember as a kid, because that song came out in the middle of '69 when the Cubs were rocking and rolling.
Exactly.
But on opening day in '69, it was strange because it was like a financial game. You had Don Money for Philadelphia, who hit two homers, and Ernie Banks for the Cubs, who hit two homers. And the Cubs won that game in the 11th on a Willie Smith home run.
Wow.
A great opener.
Gary Pressey, our A-list interview for today, sponsored by Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Gary, in what year did you begin playing organ for the Cubs?
Well, I filled in 1986. I did the final three games of the year, and then 1987, I got the job actually on April Fool's Day.
Oh.
I fooled them for all these years. 1987 was my first full season.
Wow.
And we lost the opener 9-3, but that's okay.
Yeah. So for how many years were you up there?
33 years, and I did 2,687 consecutive games.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And so how did what was your day like? Did you have to go over music with somebody else? You know,
right.
I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do that today. Or somebody would say, I want you to do this or do that. How did all that work?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's say we're playing an afternoon game at 1:20. So I'll get there around 10:30 or so. And sometimes I'll have in my little box messages from people who are going to the game. Can you play this song during pregame? And I'll try to fulfill that wish. But basically, I talked to the people in the marketing department, what's going on, who's going to be singing the stretch when, you know, it was after Harry passed away.
Right.
And then basically I was on my own. They let me play what I wanted to. So as soon as the gates open up, I started playing the organ, the music.
Yeah. And what kind of organ are you playing at home right now?
We have a Lowry Parade organ.
Lowry Parade.
It's still Lowry, and I guess they have a Lowry still at the ballpark. I'm not sure. But that's all I played at the ballpark was a Lowry all those years.
Wow. How about that? That's a...
And the organs were built in Chicago.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Lowry organs were built
here. California.
Yeah. So tell me some of the highlights, you know, of some of the people who came up. We talked about, you know, some of the seventh-inning stretches that didn't go so well. You talked about Vin Scully being, you know, fantastic. But there were all kinds of A-list celebrities that came up there to sing, right?
Well, I remember Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, me too. Who, yes.
Mitzi Gaynor, who my mom loved, she sang. I mean... It's unbelievable how the marketing people got these people to sing the stretch. And, well, Bill Murray.
Of course.
It doesn't get any better. And I remember him throwing money out the window. And I don't know whether it was dollar bills or $20 bills, but he was throwing money out the window.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And then but one of my favorite games, and you just can't forget this game, was a Saturday night. In 2016, in October, when Hendricks spun a shutout against the Dodgers, and we punched our ticket to the series.
How about that?
And the parade. I remember the parade because I was up on stage playing. I've never seen so many people. It was insanity.
Yeah, it was total insanity that day. Just a wonderful, wonderful insanity. And, of course, you got a ring out of the deal, I would imagine.
Yes, I did.
Right?
Yes, I did. And I have that baby with me and... That is something to get a. Now I'm a player that sits on the bench, and I still got a ring.
Well, you were pretty pivotal in, you know, keeping spirits high when the Cubs were often not giving us very much on the field to be excited about. So
yeah, well, I mean, I remember my first full season in '87. We finished dead last, but Dawson was the MVP. And then 2 years later, we won our division. So I mean, things turn around quickly. And, you know, we've suffered through, I think we lost 100 games in, was it 2010 or 11? And we turned it around and contended in 15 and
there you go.
Won the prize in 16.
And then finally, yeah. So you've got a little something for everybody for Easter today, I believe, right?
Well, yes, I'm going to do definitely Easter Parade. But one thing I remember, I have these vintage games I listen to on the radio, and when Vince Floyd would say, "Let's pause for station identification," he would say, "WGN, first in sound, first in service, first in sports."
Yeah.
And they still are. They still are. Yeah, I would like to play a song here. Obviously, it's Easter, so maybe a little Easter Parade. And here we go.
Here you go. On the Lowry organ, Gary Prissy. Oh, you're the greatest, man.
Thank you very much, and I wish everyone a blessed, happy Easter. And
same to you. And you're
going to show on Sunday with you guys. You guys are the greatest.
Well, we appreciate it, Gary. Thank you. And Gary often checks in with me just to say hello or telling me that his mom says hello, who's about to turn 100. What's mom's birthday?
July 25th.
July 25th.
I believe it's on a Thursday.
Is going to turn 100 years old. Send her our love. Send her our very best. And
thank you.
Happy Easter to both of you. You're a great guy. It's my honor to know you.
The whole crew at GM, I love Dave and I love Andy. I love you. Dave Ennett and John Williams, the whole crew. I love all the guys at GM.
Gary, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you again.
Wonderful memories. Thank you. So we have something very special tomorrow on WGN TV Morning News. Shawnee, maybe you've heard that we do this little show every morning on the WGN.
I've heard of it.
TV.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, number one show.
I've heard of it.
Number one show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're involved. Yes, we all know
I'm an integral part of
it. We know that, yes.
Very, very integral part.
And your point is?
Andy's been...
I've been on the show a few
Andy's
times.
Andy's been on the not only on the morning show, but you were probably on TV more than you were on radio last week.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks has been a little bit of both, but maybe a little more TV.
Yeah. Andy's sporting the TV sportscaster sport coat look.
Yes. Doesn't he needs the big insignia, the big Channel 9,
the big number
insignia
9 on his pocket,
on the lapel there, or on the pocket rather,
or he goes full Tim Weigel, and goes complete neon.
Yeah, I don't think Molina would allow that.
Like Tim Weigel used to do.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could buy jackets like that anymore.
Probably not.
I think most fire departments have prohibited jackets like that.
I saw them at Robert Hall last week.
Are you still going to Robert Hall?
No.
Oh, very nice.
I don't think there are any Robert Hall stores anymore.
Anyway, I digress. We have this special thing tomorrow. You know, WGN-TV Morning News has been a pioneer, you know, with our morning show. We started off as a one-hour show back in the day. And then it went to a couple hours, and then it went to 4 hours, and then we started the show at 5 a.m, and that was precedent setting, and everybody followed us, of course. Let's do what WGN is doing. and then 4 a.m, let's do what WGN's doing. And now, tomorrow, we debut something very special. The WGN Morning Show, 3:30 a.m. tomorrow. Going to be a live show.
Are you going to be on at 3:30?
Oh no.
He got that written into his contract.
Oh no.
We got that answer quick.
No, I'll still be horizontal at 3:30 a.m. No, I won't be there that early, but there's a whole special team for this the premiere of this show tomorrow morning. That's all I'm going to tell you. I know a lot of our WGN radio listeners, you know, they like to be, you know, they're awake in the early hours. They're, you know, stay up all night, whatever. Here's an opportunity to watch something really special. What can I tell you here? Let me see. I think that's all I'm going to tell you.
I've got the DVR set.
Yeah. Oh, you're not going to get up to watch it live?
No.
Want me to call you?
That's okay.
I can call you and wake you up.
That's okay. I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the gesture.
Hello, Molina. Sorry to bother you.
Yeah, call Molina. She'll be up.
Can you wake up Andy and just let him know that the show's starting in 5 minutes?
Don't even think about calling me.
Shawnee? Hi, it's me.
You have to go through Sarah first.
I don't think I've got your phone number.
You don't. All you have to do is just pick up your phone and go, Sarah, can you get me Schwani?
Schwani and I have like a bat phone system where I just pick it up
and it rings.
I pick up the phone and push a button and beep, beep, boop. Alfred
and then
the butler.
Alfred comes in. I'll summon him, sir.
Alfred the butler at Schwani's house or whatever it is that he's calling that guy that answers the phone.
Alfred.
Yeah, so anyway, tomorrow morning, 3:30, be there or be square. Have I sufficiently teased this?
Yes, you have.
I think I have.
Well,
it's something, you know, take that.
3:30.
Take that, Channel 7. Take that, Channel 5.
Wow, 3:30.
We're still beating the pants off you, and now we're going to start at 3:30 a.m. All right. I think that's all I have.
Okay, that's enough.
For now. I still have an hour to go. Big birthday Easter Sunday. I could have played that 50 Cent song, Schwani, that you love so much. I don't know if a lot of people know Schwani is the regional president of the 50 Cent fan club. Big hip-hop and rap fan. I would be willing to pay money if he even knew who 50 Cent was. He's stepped away from his busy broadcast position.
He's going to look up who 50 Cent is.
He's looking up. Right now he's only at 37 cents. So he's looking for the rest of it. It's your birthday. There's some dirty words in that song, so we couldn't play that one. Schwani likes the dirty lyrics. People don't know that about him. Look who's back.
He heard his name.
Oh, look who's back. Welcome back.
I have a newsroom to run.
There's nothing going on.
What were you saying about me?
Like a bunny hunt story that you're working on right now?
What were you saying about me this time?
I was saying how much you love the rapper 50 Cent.
Oh.
Fitty.
Well, you mentioned my other one, 31 Flavors, there a little while ago.
It's also one of your favorite rap groups. 31 Flavors. So, yeah, the big birthday today.
Oh, yours.
Well, it is mine, yes, but others as well. Pope Pius IV was born March 31st, back in 1499.
Yes.
Pope Benedict.
The late Pope Benedict.
Well, this I think this was the original.
Oh, the original, okay.
Pope Benedict XIV, I believe, 1656.
Well, then he's not the original, he was the 14th.
Well, I guess that's right. That's very true. He was born in 1675, so it's not the more recent Pope Benedict. Johann Sebastian Bach, 1685.
Pretty good musician.
March 31st parade. He swings.
Yes, yes, he does.
He swings.
Yes, his, he does.
His version of It's Your Birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. Franz Josef Haydn.
Haydn.
Haydn?
Haydn. Franz Josef Haydn.
H-A-Y-D-N.
Yes.
I have to, you know, defer to you because you're a fancy classical announcer also. Schwanny sideline. Who else do we have? Actor Richard Kiley's birthday today. Actor William Daniels' birthday today. Christopher Walken's birthday today.
A lot of actors.
Not even going to attempt trying.
A lot
to
of creative
happy
people.
Birthday to
it,
you.
It is a. It, wow, look at you. Yeah, it, there are a lot of creative.
A lot people. Of creative people yeah. born today.
Christopher Walken's 81 years old. A musician Herb Alpert.
See?
Taste of honey. 89 years old today.
He's 89?
Actor Richard Chamberlain. Remember him? Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Kildare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Shogun. He was started in Shogun on many miniseries. He is 90 years old today.
Wow.
Wow. Actress Shirley Jones. 90 years old today. You believe that? Mrs. Partridge? 90 years old today. Gabe Kaplan? Welcome back, Cotter. 79. Rhea Perlman. Carla in Cheers.
Yeah, sure.
76.
She and Danny DeVito were together
they
for
were together.
A long time.
They are no longer, but yes, they were together for a long time. Former U.S. Vice President Al Gore, 76 years old today. What else do we have here? Ewan McGregor. Actor Ewan McGregor is 53. I don't like anybody younger than me.
That means you don't like a lot of people.
I only want to mention people older.
That means me, too, because I'm younger than you are, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, you wish in your mind. and, of course, we would be remiss if we did not mention WGN legend. You know, that word is thrown around a lot. But truly, there maybe is no one more legendary than the great Orion Samuelson, who worked here at WGN, Schwanny, for how many years?
Over 60.
Isn't that amazing?
And this is not the only radio station he worked for.
Right.
Over 60 years.
Right. But 60 years here at WGN doing agriculture, farm reports.
And really changing the way it was done.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the nation.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was proud to be part of the agriculture team. You know, I did the noon show once. Orion was sick, and Max.
And you did Armstrong, the noon show Max, with Max?
No, Max was out also.
Oh, Max was out also.
Max was out also. And it was the day that was scheduled to do the show, the noon show, the agriculture show, from the Sandwich County Fair.
Oh, I remember this
and
story.
And our program director, our alleged program director at the time, called me.
Alleged.
Called.
Good thing they're not here anymore.
I would say right to their face. said, do you know where Sandwich, Illinois is? And I said, yeah. She said, good, because that's where
you have to go.
That's where you're going. And she said, get in your car. I said, you know, I have never done an agriculture broadcast in my life. I have no idea what I'm doing. She said, well, you'll have a little time to think about it while you're driving here. So I sped out to Sandwich, Illinois. I actually got stopped by a cop in Sandridge, Illinois, because I was driving so fast, and explained to them that I'm going to do the WGN show, blah, blah, blah. They gave me a police escort right into the Sandwich County Fairgrounds.
I love that.
And I did the show, and I don't think I embarrassed myself too much. But here's what I remember. The star of the Sandwich County Fair are their delicious pork chop sandwiches. Oh, those barbecue pork
chops. Well, there's a story right there for agriculture.
Oh, that was good. Those sandwiches were good.
Did you have to read commodity prices and all that?
Yeah, of course.
Pork bellies.
Yep.
Futures.
Acorn.
No idea what I was reading, but I may as well have been reading something in another language because I had no idea what I was talking about. I said, you know, I'm a kid from the South Side. Agriculture to me are the rats that are in the alley. That's all I know about livestock.
Oh.
But yeah, no, it was fine. But then, you know, now then I became part of the agriculture team. That's when Orion decided to retire shortly after that. So anyway, Shwani, take it from there. The staff here at WGN Radio during this past week did a special tribute for Orion's 90th birthday today.
We did. We gathered in the performance studio across the hall from where you are.
Right.
Everyone was invited that could make it and was very pleased to come in and participate in a special gathering, a sing-along, if you will, wishing Orion a very happy birthday, not only audio, but video.
Yeah.
So we did that.
Because it's on, I think it's on YouTube, right?
I'm pretty sure
it Facebook.
Would be.
It's
yeah.
definitely on,
and probably on our website,
probably
here,
on
webpage.
WGNRadio.com. Take it away.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Orion. Happy birthday to you.
That is nice. Bob Kessler, newsman Bob Kessler on the harmonica.
You know who made a special trip to come in for that? Don Norton.
Oh, my gosh.
I hadn't seen Don in a long time.
Was he wearing a tie?
No, actually, he wasn't. We were talking about that and laughing about it.
Yeah,
but,
he always wore a tie when he did the
news.
He
would come in Sunday morning, suit and tie.
Yep, every week.
Yes, sir.
Made the rest of us feel like
just
slobs.
Like me.
Please. You go to Robert Hall to get your sweatshirts.
Hey, I don't have the I voted sticker on this.
I know. I noticed that you did take that off. But that's nice. Now, who was you definitely hear somebody's foot.
That's probably Bob. That's probably Kessler.
Banging on the floor.
Keeping time.
Yeah. Keeping time, right?
For mm-hmm.
Everyone singing.
That's probably Kessler.
Yeah, but that was nice. That was a very nice tribute because Orion is so beloved. And then also because today is my birthday, and I am also so beloved here at WGN, that not only the gang here at the station, but people on other...
Andy, who's going to win in the Elite Eight?
People not only here at the radio station, but people on other floors of the building. all from 17, from the third floor... I hear a lot of people from 22 came down. Everybody wanted to participate.
Across the street from the Swiss Hotel.
A lot of people just staying at the Swiss Hotel. Tourists, they wanted to come by and join in the sing-along for me. This is what it sounded like. Kind of like Orion so far.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Dean.
Happy birthday to you.
That was nice. That was nice.
Boy, everybody was just so together.
Right? I can't even tell you how touched I am.
Oh, I can.
I'll take you right up to NCAA basketball time. Today, and with our Easter Sunday version of our Food Time show. Now, in the coming weeks, because we are in that time of year, we are going to be doing recipes for the end of the Ramadan season, Eid. which is week after next, early part of April. After that, Passover recipes, which will begin on April 22nd. Then the Eastern Orthodox Easter, Greek Easter, as we celebrate in my family, with some terrific, Greek Easter traditional recipes. So I'm hoping that we've got everybody covered here. And it is, as I've said many times, really is the essence of what makes Chicago great. You know, we've got all these different spiritual and religious celebrations that are going on over the next few weeks. We've got lots to celebrate. You know, there are lots of differences between us, but we can celebrate those differences. We can learn from one another about our beliefs. I thought it was really interesting. I don't know if some of you saw Saturday Night Live last night, but the comedian Rami Youssef was the host. He did a terrific opening monologue. He's a really good stand-up comedian, really good actor. He was in the movie Poor Things, for which Emma Stone won an Academy Award. But he's a terrific stand-up comedian and told lots of stories. He is Egyptian. His parents are from Egypt. He speaks Arabic. He is Muslim. And, spoke about all of that, added some humor into the whole thing. But he ended, telling a story about how he prays. Every day he is, as a practicing Muslim, he prays several times per day, as is the tradition. And he said, most of my friends do not pray. He said, I hang around with a lot of deplorable people or something like that, that his friends don't pray, but they ask him to pray for them. And he said that one of his friends asked him to pray for his dog, who is very sick, and he said that he would do it. And then another friend asked him to pray for his family in Gaza, for all that's going on right then. So he said, that night when I went to, say my prayers, I, prayed to God, please end the conflict in Gaza, please free the Palestinians, and free the hostages. He very specifically spoke on both sides of that there are, problems on both sides of that issue that need to be resolved, and a lot of innocent people that are suffering as a result of that. And then he said, and then I got around to saying, and God, if you have time, this dog is sick. He was pretty funny during the opening monologue. It's on YouTube if you want to take a look at it. But anyway, I getting away from that, we have lots of different celebrations that are coming up, lots of different foods which are part of these traditions, and we'll be talking about all of those between now and the Eastern Orthodox Easter, which is super late this year. It is May the 5th, so plenty of time to deal with all of that. So today I thought I was going to try to deal with a couple of quick and easy recipes. If you're looking to, do something special today for Easter, a couple of quick and easy things that you can do. Deviled eggs are an Easter Sunday favorite, and they're so easy to make. I'm giving you my mom's secret recipe for this. She was famous for any holiday that we had. She would make her deviled eggs, and they were gone in a minute because they were so delicious. And it's such a simple recipe. You take a dozen large eggs. I wouldn't get anything larger than large eggs because the cooking times can be a little wonky on those, and large eggs are perfectly fine for this. This is the way that I do hard-boiled eggs. Somebody told me about this a couple of years ago, and I've been doing it ever since then, and it makes perfect hard-boiled eggs and super easy to peel also, which is a big deal. I've got all this in a recipe that I posted on my TV cooking website, wgntv.com/DeanCooks. So you can look all this up later. But you take in a pan or pot, you put a steamer in there, put some water in just almost to the top of the steamer, bring it to a boil. When the water is boiling, then you take your dozen eggs, room temperature, put them in the steamer, covered for 15 minutes. The end of that 15 minutes, take the eggs out and put them, take each of the eggs, crack them, just take, you know, one of the ends of the eggs, crack them and plunge them into ice water. So you're going to take all the eggs, give them a little crack so the ice water can get inside that little membrane that's in there, put them in the ice water for 20 minutes, take them out, and the eggshells will come off almost whole. You know, you peel away a little bit, but then suddenly the pieces are gigantic and they're coming off, and they're not damaging the egg at all, which is what you want to accomplish when you're making deviled eggs. So now you've got the 12 eggs peeled. You cut them in half. You take the yolks out, put them in a bowl, take the whites, set them off to the side because you're going to fill them with the mixture in just a minute. But you take your egg yolks and with a fork or a potato mash or something, crush all those egg yolks up till it's like a crumbly mixture. Into that, you're going to put a half a cup of mayonnaise, half a cup or even a little bit less. Depends on, you know, how creamy you want the deviled egg mixture to be. You take some yellow mustard, a couple of tablespoons of yellow mustard. You take a couple of tablespoons of garden relish, or as my mom used to call it, pick-a-lily. You know what I'm talking about, what you put on a hot dog, the green relish. Put that in there as well, a couple of tablespoons of that. I think it's four teaspoons, I think. And look at the recipe for the proportions. But it's mayonnaise, it's relish, pick-a-lily, if you will. It is yellow mustard, plain old yellow mustard, and a dash of hot, it depends on how spicy you want it. I might have put a couple of teaspoons of hot sauce in the mixture as well. Then just mix it all up. It gets nice and creamy. You can spoon it back into the egg whites, or if you're, you know, fancy schmancy, go ahead and put them in either a plastic bag where you've cut off one of the corners so you can pipe it into the egg white, or if you have, you know, if you're a baker, you may have some pastry bags. Put it in the pastry bag with a decorative tip and pipe it back into the egg yolks. Refrigerate them so they harden up a little bit. You know, the cooler the better. And then just before you serve them, just put a little dash of paprika on each one. Done. Couldn't be any simpler. I mean, the whole thing takes half an hour tops. Something easily you could do this afternoon to serve to your guests a little bit later on today. As I say, recipe is on WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. I made them for St. Patrick's Day, and I dyed the egg whites green. So just omit the green egg dye part of the recipe in there. It's exactly the same recipe, just without the green egg dye. Unless you want green deviled eggs, it's up to you. I also wanted to mention, now this may be a little trickier to do now on Easter Sunday at 12:45 in the afternoon, but I made, not last week, but the week before, because I was off last week, I made an Easter ham. First time that I've made it with this particular glaze, which I think really made the big difference. And it was a cherry almond glaze. I didn't use the glaze that came with the ham. I just went to the store and, you know, I bought a ham. I was looking for whatever was on sale because, you know, basically all the hams are fairly similar, but it was a bone-in spiral cut ham. I put cloves throughout, poked little holes in, put cloves in throughout because I like that taste. And then I pasted some brown sugar what else? It was brown sugar and molasses, I think it was, that I mixed together into a paste, put that all over the ham. And then while I put it into the oven to heat, I made this glaze, which was a can of sweetened dark cherries, delicious, with some almond extract in it. Mixed that all up and just kind of basted the ham several times with that, which gave it this amazing cherry almond flavoring on top of it. And it kind of baked in. I let it bake a little bit longer with the glaze on it and used it again to, glaze it when it was all done. There's plenty of juice that had melted off. And it was just one of the most delicious hams that I've ever made. I've made them several different ways, in crock pots. I've made them on the grill. This was simply in the oven, I think 325 degrees. Again, check the recipe that's posted online for exact details on that. But this cherry almond glaze is what made all the difference. Somebody texted this morning, as a matter of fact, and said that they made my my ham with the cherry almond. And that's how they're going to serve it from now on. That's how much they enjoyed it. So you can check out those recipes all at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. This coming Sunday, I want to do something, just a real nice spring recipe. And I've got a pasta primavera that I'm going to do, pasta with fresh vegetables. That's fairly common. But what I'm going to do with it is make it a lemon pasta primavera with fresh lemons and lemon zest. Oh, what a difference it makes when you put the lemon with the pasta, how it freshens it up and brightens it up. Let me tell you about that in just a minute. Hopefully Taylor and Travis are having a wonderful Easter wherever they are right now. Dean Richards Sunday morning, wrapping it up, getting ready for Purdue and Tennessee. Elite Eight basketball continues at 1 o'clock here on WGN. Stand by for that. Got a few more minutes for our Food Time show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show today. And because we are in spring, although you might not know it by looking at the weather that we've got coming up, it's going to be kind of a chilly week. I wanted to bring some springtime to your dining tables this week on my television cooking segment. And what I'm going to be doing is a lemon pasta primavera. So normally pasta primavera is pasta, whatever you choose, with, vegetables, whatever you choose. Often it's zucchini and asparagus and, you know, your choice, whatever vegetables that you kind of like. I've always made it with pesto, basil pesto, which is very, very tasty. It's also, I've been doing a lot of brown butter sauces on my pasta lately. My grandmother used to do like brown butter. She would take butter, put it in a pan, and saute it until it just slightly began to turn brown. And when it did, she'd take it off the heat, add a pinch of cinnamon, and then Parmesan cheese, stir it up, and then mix it in the pasta. It's absolutely delicious. And as a primavera, a pasta with vegetables, also very delicious. But I've been doing it. I've been on a lemon pasta kick lately because it is so good. And with this recipe that I'm going to do on television this coming Wednesday, I'm taking a pasta. Now, I'm using a rigatoni. A rotini pasta, just a hollow shell, hollow tube, because I want to get some of the sauce inside the pasta. So if you want to use a penne or whatever that would really absorb the sauce up, that's what you want to use with this. So put the pasta in your salted water, let it cook. Don't overcook it so it gets mushy. Make it a little bit al dente, because it's going to continue to cook once you put the vegetables in it. In a separate pan, I'm sautéing. Now, you could also pan roast these if you want. Probably would be a little more intense flavor if you did. But I just did it, sautéed them in a pan because it was quicker. I took maybe about a half a pound of asparagus. I took one yellow zucchini, one green zucchini. I took some half a carton, about 8 ounces of cherry tomatoes, and I shredded up some carrots. Now, you can put whatever you want, whatever vegetables you want, you can put into this. Some broccoli, florets, some cauliflower if you want to. I didn't do that, but do whatever you want with that. But just, either saute or roast them a little bit so they are still crunchy, but not overcooked. You don't want to overcook anything with this. So while you're sautéing these vegetables now, your pasta is going to be done. Remove the pasta. Save the water. Don't throw away the pasta water. But move the pasta into your serving dish. And into that, you are going to zest two lemons. Take the zest of two lemons and take the juice of two lemons. Mix it in with your pasta. Into also, there would be some garlic in that. Saute some garlic and have some grated Parmesan cheese ready to go. Salt and pepper, you know, obviously it's going to go in there as well. But from there, you take these sautéed vegetables that you just did, mix them in with the garlic and cheese pasta with the lemons, the lemon juice and the lemon zest, and mix it all together. It's amazing. It's so tasty and bright and fresh. And it is going to be on television on my cooking segment this coming Wednesday. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for all the lovely birthday wishes, everybody. Really appreciate it.